I pulled myself up next to Sally on the threshold of the TARDIS doorway, both of us holding onto the black paintwork of the police box. Through the clear visor of her flight suit's helmet, Sally's eyes were wide with fear and excitement. A young soldier preparing to embark on a mission, ready for anything. Had I ever been that eager?
It's a long way down!
The view beyond the TARDIS was breathtaking, even through the driving snow that blew into the control room. The valley stretched out before us, vast walls of rock erupting from the ground into a jagged range of mountains that zigzagged away into the distance. The Carpathian Pass. And the TARDIS was hanging in midair, several thousand feet above the valley floor. But when you've led the life I had, that didn't seem all that crazy.
Why can't we materialise on board?
I was about to reply when a voice broke through my earpiece.
Because your target possesses certain security countermeasures that could affect even the TARDIS, materialising on board would be too dangerous.
Yeah, I get that, but Morgan, don't argue. Yes, Captain.
Concentrate, both of you. We have a job to do. Lysandra, can you identify the course of your target?
Stand by!
I lowered my gaze to the valley floor. The simple eye movement activated my helmet's data portal. The heads-up display projected across the visor. A blue square highlighted the centre of the display as I magnified the area below, focusing on the snow-covered terrain.
Got it!
Two smooth metal rails snaked through the valley. Data ran across my display, giving me distance, wind speed, and even the makeup of the steel of the train track.
I don't need to remind you both how dangerous this is, but success is crucial.
Yes, we know. You've told us plenty of times, Doctor. That's our target, coming up fast!
A light blinked urgently on the display molded into the padded arm of my BAN suit, instantly correlating data with the heads-up display.
Are you sure these suits are up to the job?
It was the same question Sally had asked 15 minutes ago.
Are you sure these suits are up to the job?
Body Area Network Flight Suit, a development of the Forge's standard-issue BAN combat suits.
This is knockoff gear from C4.
I glanced over at the doctor who was standing in shadow at the console. He returned my look but said nothing. I knew talk of Department C4, otherwise known as the Forge, made him uncomfortable. I'd been with the Forge for most of my career, seconded in as a corporal. Over the years, I'd become numb to it all. The monsters, the unbelievable technology, the deaths. After a while, you didn't stop to question it, you just got on with your job, investigating alien incursions, harvesting any and all extraterrestrial technology that could be exploited for the good of king and country. That was where the BAN suits came in. Sally stood before me, arms out wide. Hanging down from Sally's outstretched arms were flaps of rigid but pliable fabric, forming bat-like wings between her wrists and waist. The intelligent material moulds to your body. Woven through the fabric are discrete microfibers of anti-grav circuitry, ideal for high-risk extraction missions.
I want to ask which alien civilization your former employers plundered for this particular innovation.
I picked up an aerodynamically tapered helmet with a full glass visor and threw it to Sally, who caught it nimbly. The helmet supplies oxygen, comms net and full heads-up, detailing airspeed, wind speed, target data and trajectory. We can also monitor each other's vital signs from there or on the arm-mounted display. Sally bit her lip and frowned with an almost childlike look of worry.
Vital signs? Why would we need those?
I gave her a level look that told her not to be so stupid, then glanced over at the doctor as he slammed a brass lever into place on the wooden console and the central column ground to a halt. He fixed us both with a serious look.
We've arrived.
Yeah, they'll do the job. Hope you're right.
I moved my eyes over the heads up, toggling the data portal with a retinal movement.
Visual on target. Coming in 185 miles an hour.
Directly below us, a train twisted and turned along the pass, racing for a long stretch of straight track.
Stand by! Standing by!
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble holding us steady.
Time we were going then. Morgan, step up! Ready?
Be careful, you know how risky this is. And Captain, if you get into difficulties, look to your past for the answer.
What's that supposed to mean?
Trust your instincts, you'll know. I'll see you at the rendezvous point. Good luck!
A clock flashed on my visor, counting down from 10. This was it, but there was no fear, no anticipation. I glanced at my own vital signs. Heartbeat and adrenaline levels were barely raised. Same as always. Just another mission. I placed a hand on Sally's shoulder. Her face was flushed, but I knew she was ready. If there's one thing I'd learned since this began, Sally Morgan was a good soldier who I could rely on. She gave me the thumbs up. The clock counted down to 5 as the train reached the straight section of track.
On my mark! 3, 2, 1, mark!
And we flung ourselves into the void.
We flung ourselves into the void. We dropped from the TARDIS, rushing headlong into the wind. I tried to suppress the giddy rush of adrenaline that was making my stomach turn somersaults. I concentrated on my training, stretching my arms out wide to let the suit do its work. It immediately started to compensate, tightening here, loosening there, and soon we were both flying straight at the train. Beside me, Lysandra twisted her body a fraction and drifted closer. I forced a smile, braver than I felt, but she didn't return it. I wasn't sure I'd ever seen her smile, come to think of it.
You're doing well! Use your heads up to select the landing zone, okay?
I swept my eyes across the display. Below, the train stretched away into the near distance. I focused on the rear carriage, a dull metal torpedo with no windows. A targeting graphic flashed up. With a blink, I confirmed my landing zone.
You'll need to match velocity to that of the train, or you'll miss it altogether! Happy landings!
Lysandra brought her arms flush to her body and dropped away from me in a graceful line, heading for the front of the train. I copied her movement and my stomach lurched. The display showed my descent course, a tunnel of red squares spiralling away towards the roof of the carriage.
Sally! You're coming in too fast! What? Wait, I can't pull back or you'll be...
I could see every rivet across the roof of the train in minute detail. A second later and I'd be able to just reach out and touch its cold surface. And then the breath was driven from me with the force of a sledgehammer. The sky flashed overhead as I rolled over and over. This wasn't good. The roof of the carriage wasn't that wide. Any moment, I would be tumbling over the edge. The metal beneath me vanished. For a second, it felt like I was suspended in midair, dimly aware of jagged rocks below. Then my gloved fingers curled round metal. Searing pain lanced through my shoulder as my body slammed against the side of the carriage. I didn't care if it had been my training or blind luck, but I'd managed to grab a ladder that curved down from the roof. Gritting my teeth, I heaved around to grab the rungs with both hands. Stopping to catch my breath, I glanced to my right where the two carriages were joined. I swung myself around to land on the heavy metal couplings.
That was too close, girl.
Captain, I'm down! Just... Private Morgan to Captain Aristides, please respond. Lysandra, did you make it?
I'm here!
Oh, I thought you'd...
That was reckless. You could have been killed.
Can't get rid of me that easily. Now what?
I've gained access to the first carriage. But the rest are in lockdown. I'll get us in. How?
Leave that to me. Just stay there.
I am staying. There's nowhere to go.
At least you can't get into trouble.
What are we looking for anyway? The doctor hasn't exactly been specific.
You'll know it when we find it. Quiet. I'm at the door next to the carriage.
I ran my hand against the carriage wall. It was strangely familiar, although I was sure I'd never set foot on this train before. Would I be able to get through the door? A retina scanner stared back at me from the wall. I leant forward and allowed the scanner beam to flick across my eye. Come on.
Identity confirmed. You are Aristides Lysandra. Level 1. Clearance granted.
Success. Computer, unlock all carriage doors for 5 minutes. Authorization, Aristides, 857-921.
Authorization accepted.
Morgan, we're in. You should have access.
So, you're going to share how you got us in?
Need to know, Morgan. Let's just say I've got the knack. I'm sending through full schematics of the train. Your display will highlight a clear route to the target.
Got it.
Stay alert. There'll be soldiers and they'll be armed.
And we're not. Great.
Blame the doctor.
He's not one for guns.
Don't worry, I'll beat them into submission with my girlish charm.
All right, get going.
Roger that.
The door slid shut behind me as I made my way into the dimly lit carriage. The carriage was empty save for some equipment crates lashed against the walls. I kept in close to one side, moving quickly as the carriage swayed with the movement of the train.
kept my eyes on the identical door at the opposite end of the carriage. I had nearly reached it when it began to slide open. I dived for cover between two crates. A man appeared in heavily padded blue combat fatigues, a private going by the lack of rank insignia. His eyes scanned the carriage. Even the best training, and I knew he'd had the best, couldn't help you see through solid metal. If it could, I'd already be incapacitated with a gun at my back or a bullet in my head. Just as the private was about to turn away, I confidently stepped out and walked toward him. He reached for his sidearm, but I waved him away dismissively.
At ease, soldier.
The soldier visibly relaxed and began to talk.
Oh, it's you. Some job, eh? Cold, dark, in the middle of nowhere, transporting who knows what back home. Would it harm them to tell us what we're doing, just for once?
I nodded, saying nothing.
Thing that gets me right is...
The private continued before pausing.
Hang on a minute, you're...
He pulled his sidearm from its holster, but I was faster, and I knocked the gun out of his hand before he could bring it to bear. The soldier leapt forward to tackle me. Straight into the gas I sprayed from the small canister I'd unclipped from my belt. The doctor might not like guns, but he couldn't object to knockout gas. I took his weight in my arms and lowered him down gently. He was snoring before he hit the floor.
Sorry about that. Needs must.
Captain, what's happening?
Nothing to worry about. I'm on my way.
Good. I'm stopping.
Morgan, come in. Sally, are you there?
Great.
I came to in an enclosed metal-walled room. I was still on the train, but the details of how I got here were a bit, well, sketchy. One second I'd been talking to Lysandra, the next searing pain at the back of my neck, stars bursting in front of my eyes and oblivion. It wasn't a great leap of logic to work it out. I'd been jumped like a rank amateur, a rifle butt smashed into the back of my head. Probably the butt of the rifle held by the brick wall standing next to the closed door. His padded dark blue jumpsuit had a familiar look about it. It wasn't a million miles away from the BAN suit I wore myself. Ignoring the jolts of pain that needled through my skull and the ache from my arms, which were handcuffed behind my back, I looked up at my guard, flashing my most winning smile. Don't suppose you've got any painkillers? I never liked the strong, silent type, and this guy took it to extremes. Oh well, never mind. Then I spotted the insignia on the soldier's upper arm. For King and Country.
Okay, Corporal. I'll take it from here.
Oh, thank goodness. We've got to...
I didn't give you permission to speak.
What? It's me, Sally. I looked closer as she placed a small metal box on the table in front of me and everything clicked into place. I felt sick. A dark blue BAN suit, not the grey one I wore. That same insignia for King and Country, just below the sergeant's stripes, and the face still hard but younger.
Oh, no.
I'm Sergeant Aristides of Department C4, and you're going to answer some questions.
This is weird.
I'll tell you what's weird. That you've managed to override a lockdown security net using my biodata. That you're wearing a highly advanced variant of our own BAN suits. And that DNA sequencing scans identify you as Sally Morgan, which is problematic. Do you know why?
You're going to tell me, aren't you?
Because according to our records, Sally Morgan is a 15-year-old orphan living with her grandfather. And not a 26-year-old woman about to be interrogated aboard a high-security transport vehicle. Well?
Like I said, weird.
Why don't you start at the beginning?
I'm not even sure where that is anymore.
Let me see if I can remind you. Your restraints are fitted with an integrated taser, which I will fire whenever your answers aren't satisfactory. That was a demonstration.
You can't do this! It's torture!
I assure you I can, under special powers granted to Department C4. I could even have you shot.
Then you're going to have to shoot me.
Tell me why you're here. Perseus receiving? Yes, sir. One hostile unarmed. Intent unknown. She's refusing to answer questions. Sir, that's an extreme course of action. I'd like to... Nimrod, I don't think... Apologies, Director. Of course, I understand. Perseus out. I'll ask you one last time, what is your mission?
I can't, I'm sorry. You might understand one day.
Then I don't have any choice.
The sergeant placed her hands over the metal box resting on the table. Did she hesitate? I'd like to think so, but then she flipped two catches up and opened the lid. Carefully, Lysandra pulled an odd-looking device from the box. It was about the size of a mobile phone, made up of three metallic cubes linked together on a curved base. The central one had a computer display embedded into its surface.
How much do you know about Department C4?
Only that nobody ever calls it that.
All right then, the Forge.
You mess around with alien tech and stuff, like UNIT.
UNIT has a more philanthropic mission statement. The Forge harvests and utilizes the alien technology that routinely washes up on Earth, developing it for the good of king and country.
That's what I said.
Sometimes we keep that technology and use it ourselves. This, for example.
That's alien?
This device was developed from a Truthsayer bracelet, an artifact used by Adeans, lawkeepers from the Anarene Protectorate. They use the bracelet to get the truth from people, even if they didn't want to tell it. Our scientists saw the obvious potential and developed this along the same principle. Now hold still.
I flinched as Aristides held the device to my forehead. I craned my head away from her.
I said hold still.
Get off me!
I don't want to hurt you.
With my arms restrained, Aristides was too strong. One hand holding my head still, she brought the device up to my forehead. I was dimly aware of an unpleasant tightening on my skin where it pressed, and then she stepped back looking at me with an unreadable blank expression.
I didn't want to use this. It's only ever a last resort, but my superior demands quick results. When activated, the device emits a localized psionic field that nullifies certain areas of the brain. You'll be compelled to tell the truth.
Why is it a last resort?
Side effects, memory loss, permanent brain damage.
Then don't do it! You're better than this!
You don't know anything about me. Last chance. What are you doing aboard this train?
I can't answer that.
Then I'm sorry.
And she really looked like she was, a look of regret passing over her eyes. It was almost as shocking as seeing her laugh. I was so used to seeing a Lysandra Aristides who shared no emotions. But that didn't stop her. Her hand moved to the control on her sleeve, but before she could activate it, the world turned upside down. For the second time today, the world swam back into view. I was still in the carriage, but everything was askew, the light above flickering. I looked around and was glad to realise that the Truthsayer device was no longer on my forehead. It had skidded to the back of the lopsided room. Cold air slammed against me from the gaping hole that had been ripped into the wall of the carriage. A chance to escape.
Don't even think about it.
Sergeant Aristides was still on her side, where she'd been thrown when the train derailed, but was covering me with a pulse pistol. She was good.
All units report. Repeat. All units report.
What happened?
You tell me.
You think I did this?
It's a pretty safe bet. Comsnet's down. Damn. Who are you working with?
Seriously, I'm as much in the dark about this as you are. What was that?
Your guess is as good as mine.
I thought you were in command.
Two things you learn when you join the Forge. The first is not to ask too many questions.
And the second?
But you never leave. Hold still.
What are you doing?
Adjusting your restraints. They're now synced to my BN suit. If you move more than 2 meters away, you'll receive a shock.
How much of a shock?
You really want to find out? Come on.
Where?
I need to assess the cargo, and I want you where I can see you. Nimrod will hang me out to dry if you escape. So where I go, you go. And if the threat of the cuffs isn't enough...
Okay, I get the idea. I stumbled and, with my arm still clamped behind my back, landed headfirst into the snow. I heard Aristides leap down from the carriage.
Get up!
Can't you give me a hand?
Feigning helplessness? That's not very original.
Are you always this paranoid?
Didn't used to be. Now, I'm gonna head in that direction. Do you remember what happens if I get more than 2 meters from you?
I get the idea. You have to give me a minute.
You've got 30 seconds.
Oh, you're all hot. Ever tried to roll onto your back and then scramble to your feet in 3 foot of snow with your hands bound behind you? No? Count yourself lucky. I won't repeat my exact language as I flailed around on the floor before finally getting enough purchase to push myself back up to my feet.
That wasn't so hard, was it?
You're enjoying this, aren't you?
Oh, yes. This way.
Aristides strode off alongside the wreck of the train, leaving me to scramble behind her. She hadn't gone far before my cuffs began to bleed.
Better get moving!
I didn't need to be told twice. Night was drawing in, but even in the waning light, the devastation of the crash was obvious. The train was completely off the rails, some carriages lying on their side, others jackknifed across the track. Debris was scattered across the snow, and a couple of times I nearly landed back on my face.
Get down!
Aristides dropped to one knee, firearm up and pointing into the darkness. If only I could have been so graceful as I crashed down beside her.
Quiet!
I'm trying.
Out of the gloom, we heard something heavy hit the snow. I can't explain how, but the noise was somehow wet, unnatural.
What is it?
I don't know, but whatever it is, it's not coming towards us.
Whoever was out there was moving fast, trying to get away. Beside me, Aristides was like a statue, eyes narrowed. I couldn't even hear her breathing. When all was silent again, she finally spoke.
Let's go.
She was up and running before I could react. My cuffs began to bleed as I stumbled after her, trying to keep up as best I could.
This is it. Carriage 3.
Doesn't look very secure.
There's been a breach.
You're not kidding. That door's been ripped clean off, and from the inside by the looks of it. Just what were you transporting?
No life signs. Inside.
Aristides jumped up through the door, then turned to give me a hand. Was this a glimmer of empathy, or just that she didn't want me slowing her down? Probably the latter. The carriage was dominated by a large corrugated container which must have been thrown across the carriage during the derailment, a hydraulic door yawning open along its side. Aristides approached the opening, gun outstretched, and checked inside. When she was satisfied, she let her weapon drop.
Empty. Someone's taken it.
Or it's escaped. That's not just any old container. Air supply, temperature control. Whatever was in that was alive.
I don't understand how the door was opened. The crash couldn't have done that. It could have only been opened via the control panel.
Lysandra?
The data grid's down, but I should be able to access the log. This doesn't make sense. Why would Colborne open the unit?
This Colborne of yours? Was he mid-20s, well-built, red hair?
Yes.
Then there's something behind this container you should see.
What are you...
Did you know him well?
Not really. Colborne hadn't been with us long. Something funny?
No. Sorry. Don't know where that came from. Must be shock.
You must have seen a dead body before.
Not like this. Someone empties multiple rounds into him and he's still smiling. Look at him. He looks happy to be dead.
This isn't a joke. Private Colborne was 23 years old. He was a good soldier. He deserved better.
Private Colborne was blessed. We're all blessed.
Shut up now, or I'll do it for you.
What was wrong with me? Aristides was right. There was nothing remotely funny about this. But I felt so happy, so alive. It was like I'd waited my whole life to feel like this, as if the world finally made sense. And that terrified me.
Supposed to. What's wrong with you?
I've no idea what that was. Or what I've landed in for that matter. Oh, it stinks.
Let me see.
Now she produces a torch. Is that blood? But it's...
Purple. Yes, I noticed. Definitely extraterrestrial. But with the link to Oracle down, that's all I can tell.
When you said the contents of the cargo was classified, you weren't joking. You really didn't know, did you?
Just a level 5 artifact, he said. Get yourself up. We've got a trail to follow.
Give me a hand. No funny stuff, I promise.
Why do I find that hard to believe? One more fit of the giggles and it won't be my hand that silences you. Understood?
I nodded and Aristides pushed me back out into the cold. Whatever I'd said, my head was still spinning. What was happening to me?
Even as I jumped down into the snow, it was all I could do not to give in to the laughter again. I could feel it bubbling up inside me. A cold rush of overwhelming bliss, tempered with gut-wrenching fear, shivered through my body. I suppressed the urge to laugh and carried on walking.
The trail leads this way. North, northeast.
That's not all. Shine the torch over here.
What have you seen?
It's like something was dragged through the snow. Is that your artifact?
It's following the DNA trail. Could be.
Oh, whatever it is, it looks heavy. Care to share some of that need-to-know information with me now?
What do you think? Let's go.
We're going after it.
There were two men assigned to guard the cargo, not just Colborn.
So where's the other one?
That's what I want to find out.
Aristides strode easily through the deep snow. What had happened to me back in the carriage? Even now, out in the biting cold of the Romanian night, I could feel something needling my mind. I wanted to barge past Aristides and run into the gloom, running after... what? What did I want so badly? It was as if I hungered for something and longed to be near it. I felt so empty, so incomplete.
Damn!
Problem? Aristides didn't answer. Instead, ran over and crouched down beside the body lying face down in the snow.
Brennan?
Another squaddy in C4 uniform, flailing around where he lay, arms frantically churning at the snow, trying to haul himself forward.
Brennan, can you hear me?
If he could, Brennan didn't acknowledge his sergeant. Instead, he kept scrabbling forward, trying to pull himself along. It was amazing he'd got this far. Behind him, his right leg was twisted, obviously broken. He must have been in agony, and yet the pain didn't seem to worry him.
I'm going to have to get him on his back.
Are you joking? Have you seen his leg?
I need to know what happened.
Well, let me out of these and I can help.
Nice try.
Aristides hesitated for a second. Despite the tough talk, it was obvious she didn't want to do this. Then, her face a mask of grim determination, she knelt down and slid her hands beneath Brennan's body.
Sorry, Brennan.
The squaddy scream echoed into the night as Aristides heaved him onto his back. She hovered over his broken leg for a minute, as if considering moving it into a more comfortable position before leaving it where it lay. Brennan's yell immediately dissolved into a frantic, hysterical laugh. Behind my back, I forced my nails into my palms to stop myself joining in.
Brennan! Brennan! Focus! What happened back there? What happened on the train?
At first, Brennan didn't respond. He just lay there, eyes wide and glassy, a smile stretched stupidly across his face.
Private! It's Aristides! Report, soldier!
That did the trick. Brennan flinched and turned his head to look straight at Aristides. Recognition flickered in his eyes.
Sarge, is that you?
Yes, Mark. It's me. What happened?
There was a crash, Mom. The cargo slipped. Pinned me against the wall. My leg hurts.
We'll deal with that later, Mark. Concentrate. Was the container compromised in the crash?
I think so, Mom. Jimmy said the door had buckled, but the locks held. The artifact was secure.
But Colborn opened the container. If it was secure, why did he do that?
Why wouldn't he, Mom? You should have seen it. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
What is? The cargo? Is that what you're talking about?
Stay out of this.
Jimmy wanted it all for himself. I called to him. Pleaded with him to help me out from where I was trapped, but he wouldn't. He didn't want to share it.
Did you shoot him, Mark? Did you shoot Colborn?
He wanted it for himself. I had to kill him. He was going to take it from me.
What was it, Mark? What was in the container?
The soldier's eyes flared and he bared his teeth at Aristides. The message was clear, primitive, animalistic. I knew exactly how he felt.
You want to take it from me? I won't let you! I won't let anyone have it!
Brennan, let go!
It's mine! Mine! I love it! I love to...
The soldier's head snapped to the side and he lay still, his hand flopping back into the snow.
Sorry, Mark. We'll have to leave him here. We can deal with his injuries when this is over.
It's true, isn't it? You want to take it from him. You want to take it from me.
Take what, Sally? What was in the container? What do you know?
I don't know what's happening to me.
That makes two of us. It must be the artifact. Colborn, Brennan, and now you. Some kind of mind control.
But why isn't it affecting you?
I have my suspicions.
And you really have no idea what this thing is?
I told you. That was need-to-know information only.
I need to know! I can feel it eating away at me, trying to take over. I'm doing everything the doctor taught me to try and control it, but...
What did you say? Who taught you?
No one. It doesn't matter.
The doctor. Time travel, police boxes, and murder.
Murder? That doesn't sound like the doctor.
We need to keep moving.
But Lysandra, I need...
I said move!
We walked. I don't know how far. Waves of conflicting emotions were washing over me. Joy, panic, contentment, loneliness. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry, or both. My heart leapt in my chest. It was the most beautiful sound I'd ever heard. I scrambled forward, ignoring the warning bleep from my cuffs. The sudden shock from the cuffs surged through my body, taking my breath away. I crashed down into the snow, but didn't care. I was on my feet again, charging on, until I could see. It's beautiful.
That's one word for it. Don't get too close.
But that's what I wanted to do, what I needed to. Tears ran down my cheeks as the full glory of this magnificent creature was revealed. It stood shivering in the glare of Aristides' torch, tentacles flailing in the air. Thousands of tiny eyes, like precious gems in its large bulbous head, glared balefully at us, and I knew that it was looking deep within me, recognizing the sin that tainted my spirit. I had never felt so ashamed, so unworthy. My gaze dropped to the livid gash that sliced across its pale, twisted belly. You're injured!
Sally, step back!
No, you don't understand! He is hurt! Derleth is hurt!
Derleth? Is that what it's called?
Derleth, the beloved!
And what? You're a follower of this thing. Is that why you and the Doctor attacked the train? To release it?
We are all followers of Derleth. He loves us all!
I know. I felt it. Ever since the crash, niggling away at my mind, trying to take over.
You need to give yourself to Derleth!
Like Truman Viner did.
Who? I don't understand.
Truman Viner was the leader of a religious commune near Odessa. He taught peace and harmony for all humanity. According to our intelligence, his teachings were based around a holy relic that had fallen from the sky.
The relic? That was your artifact?
3 days ago, the Ukrainian authorities paid Viner a visit. Everyone in the commune was dead.
Dead?
It looked as if there'd been a riot. Viner's followers had ripped each other apart.
What happened to Viner?
You're looking at what's left of him.
No! That is Derleth!
Beloved, you said. According to my readings here, that thing has attached itself to Viner's body, changing him. Whatever it was originally, it must have been hidden away inside the relic, waiting to strike.
No! You're lying! Trying to confuse me. Derleth only wants to love us, to complete us.
To brainwash you, like he did to the cult members, and you.
Derleth wants you!
I know, and that's the worst thing. I want him to, so badly. But I can't let that happen.
No! You can't!
Get off me!
You'll not hurt Derleth!
No, but I might.
What?
That's not possible.
It is.
And before we get into questions, there's a couple of facts you need to accept. First of all, I'm from your future. And the second, you're about to fail your mission.
No! Derleth!
Pull yourself together, Morgan. We're moving out. I've had enough of this. I need explanations and I need them now. You and me both. None of this makes sense. If you were here on this mission, why can't I remember it? What the hell did he do to me?
Who?
Derleth? No. Someone much worse. Ah. Talk of the devil. No! No! The door of the TARDIS was yanked open, and the Doctor stepped out into the night.
What are you doing here? We were supposed to meet 3 miles that-a-way.
There were complications. I'm afraid I had to stop the train earlier than planned. But the Doctor wasn't listening. He was staring furiously at the alien corpse in the snow.
What have you done? You weren't supposed to kill it.
What was I supposed to do? Why didn't you tell me I was about to dive into my own history? Slipped your mind, did it? And don't try to tell me you didn't know.
You honestly can't remember any of this, can you? Nothing at all.
Probably because my younger self over there is in the middle of a nervous breakdown. Can't say I blame her.
My past self had fallen to her knees and was rocking back and forth, head in hands. Beside her, Sally was still lying on the body of the creature, weeping openly. The Doctor had excelled himself today.
That's not it, I'm afraid. Not this time. Sally, can you hear me? You need to come back to the TARDIS now.
At first, Sally didn't respond, but when she finally lifted her head, I could see that she was no longer crying. Instead, a cruel smile was creeping across her face.
You thought you could destroy Derleth. You thought you could win.
And haven't we, Sally?
No, Derleth lives. She lives forever.
She? I glanced at the Doctor, but he was just staring at my younger self. I followed his gaze.
The young me had stopped rocking and was pushing back up to her feet slowly. She raised her head.
Darla lives.
I'd seen plenty of odd things in my time, but nothing prepared me for an alien voice hissing from my mouth.
It's transferred its consciousness, jumped into the sergeant's body.
I'd worked that out myself. Clever. It knows I'm not likely to shoot myself.
Darla, I love you, Darla!
Then again, Sally had dropped to my feet, her head bowed.
Cleanse me of my sins!
Darla turned to face its disciple and reached down to lift Sally's face, cupping it with my hands. I felt sick.
Your sins have been washed away, my child. Now you must worship me.
Don't listen to it, Sally. Remember your training. Darlith isn't your savior. It is one of the elder gods we fight.
No, Doctor, you are wrong. Darlith is love. Darlith is peace.
No, Sally. Darlith is evil, ancient, malevolent evil. It only lives to destroy.
You talk of evil, Time Lord, of malevolence and destruction, and yet you protect these creatures. Do you know why they captured me? It's here in the mind I inhabit. Need to know information. Do you need to know, Time Lord?
I can guess.
They plan to use me to... yes, clone me. You talk of mind control. What of this body I inhabit? She was conditioned by her superiors. Her mind set to resist me if I escaped. It nearly drove her mad. She can't even remember. She obeys orders no matter what. Tell me, Time Lord, who is the real monster here?
As Darlith talked, images flashed through my mind. A room, cold and sterile. I couldn't move. Restraints on my arms and legs, needles, injections, and that face. His face. Chalk-white skin crisscrossed with blackened dead veins, cracked bloodless lips, piercing cruel eyes. Nimrod. I could hear his voice preparing what was to come, briefing me on the mission and then commanding me to forget, twisting my mind so I would be immune to Derleth's influence, so I could complete the mission. For king and country.
Is that why I can't remember any of this, Doctor? Is it because of him and what he did to me?
I don't know, Lysandra. I honestly don't know.
But you do remember, don't you, my child? You remember your master's plan.
Do you, Lysandra? Is it still in there? I can help.
Don't you dare. I've had enough people playing with my mind. I can remember snatches of information. Project Nirvana. Clones of Darlith were to be flown over enemy lines, airdropped into battle zones.
So that your enemies would instantly fall beneath their thrall, consumed by love and devotion to your manufactured gods.
That was the general idea. I think the exact phrase used was easy targets.
Classic Nimrod. Down to the fatal mistake.
Which was?
The victims of the clones wouldn't just lie down and worship, ready to be picked off. Darlith isn't a god of love. It's a god of jealousy.
You do know me, Time Lord.
Oh, I know you. Your followers became obsessed with you. Darlith, the ultimate drug, the deadliest high. They can't bear to be without you or share you with anyone else. First joy and adoration, then violence and murder as they turn upon each other.
Such emotion, so strong, so pure. You should have seen them, Time Lord. The disciples of Vina clawing at each other, fighting to the very last man. It was delicious. And the soldiers, Colborn, Brennan, Morgan.
Leave her alone!
Don't worry, Lysandra. We'll find a way to stop this. Somehow.
Somehow? You mean the Time Lord hasn't got Plan B tucked up his sleeve? How disappointing.
I wouldn't say that. Captain, for the last few minutes, you've been standing with your hand over your pocket. What have you got in there?
What? Nothing. That's weird.
Is that what I think it is?
No need to snatch. We used them in interrogations for a while. Truth says.
Edean technology. Very nasty. One of Nimrod's little experiments, I take it. But why have you still got one?
I found it on the train when I was looking for Sally. I didn't even know that I put it in my pocket. Something about the train and seeing it there. Something that Nimrod had said before we left Britain all those years ago.
Of course, that's it.
What is?
Oh, Nimrod, you may have been a psychopath, but you were a very, very clever psychopath.
Is that toy supposed to stop me? Is that what you're planning, Doctor?
Don't mind me, Durlith. Talk among yourself.
What are they planning, my lord?
They conspire against me, my child. They plan to take me from you.
No, I won't let them. I'll kill them.
Indeed, you will. Your bonds are released, my child. Defend your god.
Selly! Get off me! You'll never take Durlith from me, never!
Doctor! I could do with some help here!
I'm a little busy, Lysandra. Need to complete Nimrod's trap. Need to defeat Durlith. Durlith, the beloved. Durlith, the wonderful. Durlith, the glorious.
Doctor!
Can't fight it, Lysandra. I love Durlith. I need Durlith.
Speak for yourself! I'd stay down if I were you. Doctor, give me the truthsayer.
I can't. Durlith commands me. Durlith.
It's making a run for it, look!
What?
No! Do not leave me!
I think our little fight was just the distraction it needed. It couldn't wait to get away from you.
No!
That's it. Go get your god. Now, Doctor, I need the truthsayer.
I can't.
You can. Listen to me. I know you. I know that you must have been fighting Durlith's influence from the moment you stepped out of the TARDIS. I know that you're fighting it right now. Believe it or not, I have faith in you. I don't always like your methods. I don't even always like you. But I know you're stronger than that thing.
Lysandra!
Doctor! The truthsayer!
The doctor didn't exactly give me the device. Instead, he let it drop from his shaking hands. I gave him a nod of acknowledgement and stooped down to pick up the truthsayer, turning it over in my hands. Had he been able to finish his work before he succumbed to Durlith? I looked up and glanced at him, standing stock still in the light spilling out from the open TARDIS door, eyes closed. Imagine the struggle that was going on in his mind. There was no point trying to talk to him now. I was on my own. The trouble was, would I even know what to do with the truthsayer? I checked the settings and saw that whatever had happened to his mind, the doctor had finished his work. Words were scrolling across the device's tiny display screen.
Well, what are you waiting for, Captain? Attach this to Durlith's head. Yours, the doctor.
I looked up. I couldn't see anything in the dark. With one last glance at the doctor, I chased after Sally, only to find her 20 meters away. She had thrown herself against Durlith and pinned it to the ground. The thing in my body squirmed, desperately trying to escape, while Sally hung on for dear life.
You'll never leave me, never!
Morgan! Sally! Hold Durlith steady!
What are you going to do to her? Stay away from her!
Sally! You need to trust me.
I'll kill you!
No, you don't understand. If you let me do this, Durlith will never leave. She will be with us forever.
No, it's a trick. She wants to kill me.
If only I could. I've no idea if this is what the doctor had planned all along, whether he knew this is how it would pan out. But there's no other way. You must trust me, Sally.
I do.
To this day, I've no idea if I managed to get through to her, or whether it was her jealous hunger for Durlith that was speaking. But Sally never took her eyes off the truthsayer as I lowered it onto Durlith's forehead.
No! Get it away from me! Stop her!
This isn't right! What are you doing?
Trust me, I'm asking the same question. Activating now!
No! You're killing her!
Sally! Get off me!
You're killing her!
And then it was over. Durlith's head, my head, fell back into the snow, face slack and eyes rolling up into the sockets. Sally slumped into me and I caught her, never taking my eyes off my younger self.
Is it done?
You tell me.
Let me see.
What's happened?
Morgan, are you okay?
I don't know. There was a crash and some kind of container and... Oh, no, Lysandra, Captain, there was another you. She was...
I know. I'm sure the doctor is about to explain everything. I waited patiently as the doctor reached over and checked Sally's eyes. I wanted to scream and rant, but I knew it wouldn't help.
Finally, when he was satisfied that Sally wasn't suffering any side effects, he sat back. He was worried about her having side effects. She wasn't the one with the Elder God trapped in her mind. Finally, he looked me in the eye.
Thank you, Lysandra. I realise that must have been a terrible choice to make.
What choice?
Before Derleth finally broke through my own psychic defences, I managed to reprogram the Truthsayer. When Lysandra applied it to her younger self, the device created a network of psionic barriers deep within the sergeant's mind.
And Derleth is trapped inside these barriers?
Yes. A permanent psychic prison. Derleth will remain locked inside your head until...
until I die.
But what happens then? Will it escape?
No, it will die with her.
And let me guess, the trauma of creating this prison of yours wiped my memory.
Your memories remain intact somewhere within, the trauma suppressing them. I'd normally hazard that they'd return given time. But as you know, in this case, they don't.
And how long have you known about this mission? The Truthsayer? About me?
The TARDIS sensed Derleth in your mind the first time you ever came on board.
You mean after...
Yes. I did a little digging, found out about a massacre in a cult and a failed forge mission in Romania.
And you put two and two together?
As for the Truthsayer, I had no idea what role this little device would play. Sometimes time keeps her hand close to her chest.
She's not the only one.
What now? We can't just leave her out here.
We won't. Lysandra, you know what to do.
Without another word, the doctor took Sally by the shoulders, helped her up, and led her back to the TARDIS. For a minute, we were alone out there in the middle of nowhere. Me and my younger self. The wind whistled round us as I sat staring at that familiar face. She looked so peaceful as she slept, but I knew what lay ahead. Soon lines would start scratching across that smooth skin. Grey streaks would start appearing in her hair. But that wasn't the worst thing. Soon the fire would start fading from her eyes. I wiped my hand across my cheek and was surprised when it came back wet. It had been a long time since I had cried. A long time since I'd felt anything. I hadn't always been like this. Even when I was first recruited to the Forge, I'd been happy. I believed in what we were doing. Felt that I was making a difference. I remember looking at the others, at Crichton, Crumpton and Frith, and promising myself that I wouldn't become like them. So unfeeling, so inhuman. What had happened to me? Had it been this day? Had it made me immune to happiness? Perhaps that's why the doctor had recruited me into this private war of his. Had he recognised Derleth in me when we first met? I glanced back at the TARDIS. He'd left the door open for me, a new commander. Just as manipulative as my last. Looking to my younger self, I resisted the urge to brush a stray strand of hair from her face. I'd read enough of the files to know what that could do to the time continuum. Instead, I carefully leant over and activated the control panel on her BAN suit. Perseus to base. Project Nirvana compromised. Multiple casualties. Request immediate extraction. Perseus out. I didn't give the young sergeant another look as I walked back to the TARDIS. She'd be put through hell when they got her home. But she'd survive. I always did.